Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and we have a delightful leading lady that I'm excited to introduce all of you listeners to. We're going to be talking today about behind-the-scenes secrets of business growth, and this leading lady has a lot going on because she is an award-winning entrepreneur, and I want to introduce all of you to Lauren Hong, who is our leading lady today. She's the founder and president of Out and About Communications, and Lauren, I got to first say, congratulations. You are an award-winning women entrepreneur. You were one of our recipients of the Women of Influence Awards this year as the emerging woman-owned business. So say hello to all of our listeners.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, I'm excited because, you know, I love the word secrets, right? I think our listening audience is like very intently listening in going, secrets about business growth. What could we possibly talk about? And I think, you know, one of the things I love about being a business owner is that I've been in business over 25 years, and I can tell you 20,000 things what not to do. And every single day and every way, there's always new things that have come up about learning how to grow and scale and build a business. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Well, I want to hear about your journey because tell just for our audience and our listeners, tell us just a little overview briefly about what Out and About Communications is. I know you design websites and branding. Share with our listeners your company message.
Absolutely. So we are a full-service digital marketing agency, which basically means that we can mean a lot of things in this world of PR and advertising and marketing and all that stuff. But we primarily worked as an outsourced marketing department for companies, mostly in financial services. So they hire us and they think of us as essentially their, we kind of take a seat at the C-suite. So we put together their full strategy and then we execute on all the tactics. So that's lead generation online, that's updating marketing collateral, that's e-newsletters, events. I mean, you name it. We're essentially that marketing department.
I love it. And that is a nice overview. And I've got 20,000 questions, so be prepared. Are you ready for the interrogation?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
That's what I got. All right. Here we go. So just some fast facts I want our listeners to know, because I think this is going to get into some of the secrets to business growth that you share. But how long have you been in business? When did you start? How long have you been in business?
It's been about 6 years. So started in April.
Wow.
And chugging along, that's for sure. So
I think you're going long more than chugging, but we're going to get into that. And then how many employees do you have? And like team, your team is how big?
It's about 15 folks. So,
15. And
yep.
For you, now you started 6 years ago, but were you in this industry, in this business before you started your own business?
I was in related spaces. So I've actually kind of lived and worked in a lot of places, D.C., Boston, actually lived in South Korea, Hong Kong, working in nonprofit, government, for-profit. And so when I started this, though, I mean, it was definitely like I literally had nothing. So it was getting it going. I mean, I didn't have a network. I didn't have any connections. I didn't have a portfolio. So it was still pretty much getting it going from scratch, even though I had previous experience in this arena.
You know what I love? I'm going to give you a huge compliment because what I loved about you, because I remember when you first moved here, that's how long I've known you, is when you first started in the San Diego area and you were new. And I love that you started to, you were building, like promoting other groups and organizations and their events online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I just thought it was so, what a great idea to be able to get people to look at your site and see that you are promoting something else besides you. And I don't know if that was something that you use as a footprint and strategy, but I thought it was, you know, A plus when you first started. So well done on that.
I so appreciate that. Yeah, I think one of the things is, I mean, when I moved here, myself and my husband, we just actually knew a few Navy friends, and that was about it. And so we essentially had to go and just meet people and network and go to tons of things. And I knew that this business wasn't going to be successful if it was just me. It takes, you know, it really takes a village, and it takes a network and a team. Mm-hmm. And so part of that was just building those alliances and supporting people and all of that. So that was part of the, I think, try things out and kind of see what works. And that's kind of where it started.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and I'm curious, what was the, now two questions, right? Because they always say there's riches and niches. And I know you said you specialize in financial services, but for out and about communication, what was your, you know, the big inspiration that said, I'm going to start a digital marketing agency and design websites and help companies with their brand message and all the things you do? Where did that come from? And what did you see as opportunity as one secret to your success?
Oh, gosh. Well, the story of how it got going was I had, like I mentioned, lived and worked in all these different sort of cities and had various experiences. And I mean, to be quite honest, I had that kind of conversation with myself to say, well, what really wakes me up in the morning? What are the things that I enjoy doing? Who do I want to be with? You know, all of that kind of stuff. And it kept circling back to marketing. And I was talking with people, and I actually have an undergrad in graphic design is kind of my specialty or my skill set, if you will. And I was talking to people in San Diego, and I was sort of in this transition. I happened to mention graphic design in a conversation with someone, and the lady across the table said to me, she's like, you know, I really need help with that. Could I just bring you on? You didn't have a portfolio or anything. She's like, can I just cut you a check, and what can you do to help me? And I was like, okay,
nice.
You know, yeah. And
yeah,
that was honestly kind of the start of it. And I knew when I got going, you know, that forced you to, you know, of course, get your business entity together. And, well, who's she going to write this check out to? And, you know, what's going to be the name and et cetera. But I knew when I got this going that as much as I, you know, am good at graphic design, I'm not great at it. And I knew that I really liked kind of seeing the bigger picture, and I liked more of the creative side of it. But what I did is I used that as a stepping stone to then kind of build up to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So the evolution, I guess the birth of it when it got started wasn't necessarily, oh, I want to have this agency someday, but it was kind of the evolution of, I guess, kind of getting to a higher place of the things that kind of wake you up. And that was part of the evolution of the business and why it kind of evolved into more of this agency model of, so we could do more and it wasn't just one particular skill set.
You know, I'm really curious. And like I said, I know I'm going to be on like Susie questionnaire, right? Interrogator. But, you know, that leads me to a question, because for our listeners, you know, everybody always says you have to have this great grand business plan, you know, and what I'm hearing you say, which I think is really valuable to our listeners, is that you, if I heard it right, you kind of started with one thing and then paid attention to opportunity in other ways as you grew. I mean, can you kind of share a little bit
Absolutely.
More of how other our listeners could really pay attention to that? Because that's anti what they say when you first start, you have to have it all figured out. And you're like, no, I made it up as I went.
Not
and
at
I think
all.
That's a good thing.
I actually don't think you can have it all together at all when you get going. I think it's kind of like you'd be fooled to say if you did. I think that one of the secrets of success is that first thing of just figuring out what wakes you up, what makes you happy. Because if you do go the journey of entrepreneurship, or even if you're an entrepreneur within an organization, you've got to make sure that it's, you know, it's something that doesn't feel like a 9-to-5, right? So I'd say that's one piece of it. And then the second thing is, you know, you can have all these great ideas, and you may think that they're great ideas, but the market might not think that, or they may not be opportunities within that space, or it may push you towards different directions. So part of my evolution, I think, in growing, you know, this business and understanding our value proposition and our service offerings and creating a company culture and all of that has also been this sort of organic growth of us figuring out what we're good at and how we can be even better, and then what actually will the market eat. And that's part of how it's evolved. So someone asked me the other day, they go, I want to get this business going. Should I put together a business plan? I'm like, honestly, I think you're going to be wasting your time. Just try it out, you know, just kind of dip your toes in the water and see what works.
Wait, can I just say, Lauren, like the whole world, the whole business world and investor world is like crumbling right now. They're like, what? Everybody says you need a business plan. I mean, you had at least some, I mean, you had, did you have parameters on it or really you just had no plan at all? Because I love, not that I love that people don't have a business plan, but, you know, I work off of our company in 90-day increments. And there's one a book I'm going to recommend everybody get. But what, how did you, you had to have some sort of plan. Please tell me there was a plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I definitely wouldn't poo-poo putting together a plan, but I think sometimes you can overthink things, you know, especially when you get going. And sometimes you just don't, you can't, usually when you get going, you can't even put in a really clear way what your elevator pitch is, right? So as you evolve, and I think you identify more of kind of your identity as a business and what you have to offer, I think that then you're putting together these incremental plans along the way. And I think as you, honestly, I don't think it was probably until year four or five that I was really like, okay, I can feel like I'm over this curve. And the plans that I were putting together, I had more history. I had understanding of my finances. I had more predictable, you know, understanding of that. I had more predictable understanding of, you know, my sales cycle. I had a better understanding of just things where it wasn't so in the dark. And so when I was able to put together that plan and things that, you know, I do have and are continuing to be updated, is that I just have a better idea of what I'm getting into. Where before I could put plans together on a paper, but it's kind of, you know, it's just like changing. You're kind of moving so fast in the beginning because you're constantly changing and adjusting and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, no, I love that, you know, and I want to spend a little bit of time because the topic is, you know, the behind the scenes kind of things. I mean, you know, I think when anybody starts a business, we're always like, oh, I'm going to have this all figured out. It's like I got plan one, two, three, or step one, two, three, four, five, and you're like, ooh, no, business is messy and it's never perfect, right? And we're never done.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious with you, like maybe just in the first year, it's like what were some of the biggest learning lessons in that first year that either surprised you or that were something that were maybe a little bit of an obstacle that you overcame that you didn't anticipate? You know, can you share a couple of those with our listeners?
Oh, man, it was hard, honestly. The first year was really hard. I mean, I think for me, because I didn't know anyone. Like, I was brand new to the city. I didn't have a portfolio. I was refining my messaging. And so I think that both, you know, just sort of the emotional support. My husband was amazing and all that, you know, kind of getting me through, like, I think sometimes honestly believing in me more than I believed in myself, because it's such an emotional roller coaster in the beginning. So I think having like a cheerleader alongside of you can be really a gift. And I don't think I even realized how much of a gift that was until I kind of, you know, you get over one hump and you get over the next hump and it makes you have thicker skin and it makes you, it helps you believe in yourself even that much more. So I think one of the things with year one was me just figuring out my model. And then also, I just went to so many networking events. And I think one of the big takeaways that I had from all these events that I went to is that, it was good. It helped me to build out my network, but as I continue to refine my business and my target market, then, just being more strategic with my time, and where I went and what I did and all of that. And I was, and even now, like, it's just the more strategic I can be with my time, rather than be focusing on sales or focusing on supporting the team or whatever it is that you just get kind of tighter and tighter along as you refine your path and your business. So, but in the beginning it was just, you know, it was jumping in the deep end. So,
well, of course. Yeah. And I think that's great. Great. But, you know, people do talk a lot about, you know, networking today. I mean, I started networking in the early 90s and it's so different. You know, there used to be that a lot of decision makers would go out and would go to events and associations or chambers or things like that. And now it's just, there's so much and everybody, you know, thinks online. I'm curious, again, for our listeners, what is your opinion now? How do you, you know, make sure you're being strategic about where you network? Like, what were the steps that you went through? If you could share a few that just said, look, this is how I evaluate where I spend my time.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So how I'm able to evaluate how to spend my time are, I mean, there's a few ways, but one is just really understanding my target market. So who is that person? What's their job title? Are they in a type of industry or do they have the type of a business that they're in that fits my criteria. So the more I'm able to hang out with those types of people that are direct prospects is key. That also goes for referral partners as well. You know, are they directly connected to my prospects, and are they a place where they're in a sort of a center of influence where they can, you know, they're a trust sort of relationship to one of our prospects. So as far as my networking time goes and building business time, whether it's online or offline, like creating content or something like that, I want to make sure that it's really speaking to my target market.
Right.
I definitely would say that is, like, from a sales perspective, that's really key. And then just from a time perspective, I mean, just talking about business planning, you know, we'll do the 30, 60, 90 and beyond, right? You know, what does the next 10, 25 years look like? But I'll look at, well, what are those gaps? Where are the gaps that we've got right now within our business? And do I need to be shifting my time to be spending more time on onboarding some new employees or onboarding, you know, a new client, or honestly just refining internal operations? And so my time often shifts between kind of where the gaps are within, you know, our weaknesses, you know, our opportunities to grow, and then also just with the other kind of things that I've got to do. So whether it's business development or management or whatever it is. So I don't know if that narrows it down enough.
Well,
but,
go ahead.
Well,
I love your perspective on that, but I know, you know, when you were promoting other events and things, that totally makes sense now that you were out there networking everywhere and saying, oh, I'll post your event and blah, 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 blah. I thought that's great. But one, I think, big question is, why the focus of financial services as your target market? Do you do business for any kind of business, or is it only financial services, and why financial services, I think, is the bigger question, which is
So we actually work with businesses outside of financial services. But to go back to the comment earlier about, you know, you kind of have to go where the market pushes you. We've kind of grown into the space of working with a lot of financial service kinds of clients. So early on, we actually acquired or we had some businesses that we worked with that were wealth management firms, and we did a really great job for them. And they told their friends, and they told their friends, and we started to develop networks within, you know, wealth management and payroll and with banks and lawyers and these kinds of folks. And as we started to have more of these, we weren't even soliciting the business. It started to come to us is that, you know, as we were able to win it, as a team, we started to learn more about what these kind of industries need. You know, they've got compliance issues they have to deal with. There's all these processes that we've got to go through. There's all this financial jargon. And so we started to learn all of that, and we can sort of play ball better in that field as a result. And so we take on other clients with, you know, that's kind of scribble outside of those lines. But us having to work with financial services was more of an evolution of there being a need in the market, and we were really good at it. And honestly, a lot of the firms that we work with, the kind of work can be really dry. And so they come to us because they need our help to make it be really fun, make it be approachable, you know, add personality to it. And so that's something where we have a lot of fun with, because it's a unique challenge of, you know, taking maybe someone that's really good at crunching the numbers, but just doesn't know how to present their value to the world. And so we have the pleasure of really understanding their story and then helping to share their story with the world, their firm story,
individual story,
whatever it might be. Yeah.
Well, I love that. You know, I think it's interesting because just in the scope of time, you know, as you build a business, you know, everybody out there says, oh, you got to have systems, you got to scale your business. And to me, those are big words, you know, and I'm curious for you, as you started to get busy, right? You started in the beginning, it's all you, you're doing it. Then you started growing, you know, what were maybe some of the steps that you took in order to start building those systems? Because that is how you build the empire, right? I mean, how did you go about it? Did you get a rule book? Who taught you what you know? What are the secrets on that? Because every business needs systems.
Yeah, you really do. I think, the systems and the types of tools really come down to what are priorities internally for you as a business. So, we have a project management tool that we work with, but we went through quite a few, honestly, to find the right one, which was a really big pain every time we had to shift. But the shift got us closer to the right one. So we use Mavenlink, which is a great project management tool, especially for creative companies. We use Google Docs all the time, you know, automating, just invoice signing. There's just whatever I can do to reduce my time make things quicker. We've got templates for things. We have a whole internal system that's kind of like a training guide. So any lessons learned, we either come up with as a team through problem solving or just systems for how we do things. We keep it all in there. You're absolutely right. If you want to scale, and when you've got a lot of people involved, you've got to have systems so that, one, you don't repeat yourself a million times, and two, things don't fall through the cracks. So
how did you, you know, this is a big one, Lauren, because this to me is some of those behind the scenes things. It's like, how did you learn how to build procedures? Was this from your corporate background? Was it that you read a book? You know, was it that you talked to colleagues that kind of showed you the way, or did you just feel your spidey sense and you got it done? I mean, I'm really curious because so many businesses struggle with that, you know, of how, like, what does a protocol versus procedure mean? And everybody knows it, and yet businesses, I find it all across the board of how businesses learn to build systems. What was your, you know, what was your learning methodology? Where did you get how to do that?
Honestly, I think a little bit of trial and error. And I'm a big fan of, before I go into putting together any procedure, whether it's an operations document or whatever, it's just I have to kind of understand what are the key things for me going into this. What do I want to get out of it? How do I want to format it? So then whatever the methodology that I will take, whether it's an operations system or a new project management tool or an employee handbook or something, that I've got the right platform that I'm entering into it. And then honestly, it's just been – I mean, I'm learning along the way too, right? So we're constantly adding to this and making it better. I think it's partly my personality of just kind of like organizing things. And partly, honestly, just working, like I've had other, you know, previous agency experience and things like that. And you see good things that seem to work really well. And you've seen things that just, you think they could be really improved. And so I think it's kind of been a combination of different experiences that I've taken those in and they've informed what we've done. And then I've just built on top of that.
Very cool. No, and I know we've only got a little bit of, you know, this show goes so fast. I'm curious with you, you know, if you can kind of think back over the last 6 years, what two things have really been kind of the hardest, you know, in terms of evolution or growing the business? Is it adding employees? Has it been access to money, you know, or profitability? I don't know. Or dealing with, I guess, what you've 6 years, so you were past 2008. So many businesses I get on the radio show and they're like, oh, how we even survived post 2008 is incredible. But I'm curious with you, what have been maybe a couple of the biggest obstacles behind the scenes that you've kind of overcome? Can you share those?
Absolutely. The first thing that came to mind was just being patient with myself. There were so many times where I could see exactly where I wanted to go. I knew the team I wanted. I knew the office space. Like, I could see it all. And I was so frustrated, you know, because I was like, oh, you know, I just want to like have this and this and this and this. And me being really patient to get there was honestly, it was hard. And I'm really grateful that I didn't jump too soon and make, you know, decisions, financial decisions, getting me into something that could have gotten me there quicker. But, you know, the patience and kind of building this out, you know, has gotten us to where we are right now. So that's definitely an obstacle, a personal obstacle, I think. There's just things that I wish I would have known to be sharper on, or maybe even talking with more people in the beginning, like, you know, just exploring different models of how do you price products, you know, or how do you price your services, and you know, what are strategic methodologies for, and, you know, kind of incentivizing people to sign that proposal, or you know, just talking with more people within the space to understand how they built their businesses and kind of the bumps along the way. And I think, because I was, you know, I was in my 20s when I started this, and I didn't have, you know, a whole lot of experience under my belt. And so I think that having perhaps had just a little bit more experience would have helped me to probably even be, you know, get a little further than where I even am now. So
Yeah. Well, you've got some really good, you've got some great advice, you know, and I love, you know, how you kind of keep bringing up how it's like you just kind of small, steady steps and you keep tweaking. And I love the word tweaking because not twerking, by the way, I want you to know that, but it's tweaking. But, you know, you just keep changing things up, you know, you can refine, you know, you try it, you know, you've got to be willing to do things. So I'm curious with you, what would you share with our listeners just on the idea of how, you know, how big of risks do you take or have you taken? Do you feel like you're a big thinker and a big doer, or do you kind of dip your toe in when you want to try something new? What's your opinion about taking risks in business, and how have you done that or not done it? I'm curious.
I would consider myself a risk taker, and the degree of risk, I think, varies. I mean, just getting a business started in a city that you don't know anyone and you don't have anything, I think, is a risk, a pretty big risk into itself. But then there's more calculated risks that I take along the way, whether it's trying a new employee or a contractor that I may bring on, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a new service offering. But sometimes if you don't explore those things, you don't really know, and at least you can rule stuff out, right? So, yeah, I no risk, no reward, I suppose. And I think once you start feeling comfortable, then you're kind of you're not challenging yourself enough.
I like that. Oh, you've got so much good advice. You know, we've only got a few minutes left, and I'm like thinking, you know, what's the, you know, when you think about the future, because again, design and branding and website development and all the things you do, I mean, can you share a little bit about what does the future look like for your industry? I mean, what are the biggest things that you see that are changing how you, you know, serve the industries you work in? It's like, are there big movements happening within the design and branding and digital marketing platforms that you just get excited about or fearful about, what?
Digital marketing is pretty incredible. The kind of tracking that you can do and the opportunity for conversion is pretty unreal. I think, you know, I see a lot of opportunities for AI in the future and how that's going to impact things.
Tell people what AI is. I mean, just so we know.
Oh, just
AI,
artificial intelligence.
Yeah,
whether it's through testing or through its through simulation of things, that sort of thing, and also virtual reality experiences. You know, I think those are all things that are forward leaning. And then I think the last thing is just that the internet as a space is really replicating, I think, us as humans and the offline experience, even just where kind of Google Analytics is going and how they're changing their search algorithms, or how kind of video is playing such a bigger role. All these sorts of things are, you know, we're learning as humans, and then we're sort of adjusting our technology to be more humanistic, if you will, and the algorithms and all of that. So it's pretty fascinating. It's a really fun world to be in because it's always changing all the time. So.
Yes, it is. I have to say, you know, I laugh and I think about, you know, business is so different from, let's say, 20 years ago, because I'm dating myself, right, old lady. But I also laugh because just in the last 5 years even, it's like business just has changed so much. I mean, how we market, you know, how we do business, you know, I mean, I can remember 3 years ago, you know, I was still brick and mortar, desktop, you know, computers, I was tethered to an office, and now it's like you can do business anywhere, which is good and bad, right? And our whole team is virtual. Like, you guys, you have an office, but what's the big goal for you in the next couple of years? What are you, you know, excited about that in and out and about communication is going to go? Sorry, out and about.
Yeah, no worries. So we're just growing our team out. We're building our business. We're just getting a stronger voice in the industry. And I think really, you know, just sharpening our toolkit, especially with the, you know, the digital marketing best practices, whether it's inbound, you know, we do a lot of inbound communications, but just really utilizing all the really, I'll just say, really cool tools out there that give us more data so that we can honestly have sharper products and better user experience, and really pull people down those lead funnels and understanding where those conversion hiccups are and how we can tighten things so we can, you know, pull people down funnels and get them to the end goal. So that's really fun. It's sort of like a, you know, it's like a massive experience or experiment all in itself. So
I love it. You know, you're funny. It's like when you start talking about your business and the whole bit, man, your whole voice just lights up. I mean, you're like, woo, I'm so excited. I'm talking about funnels and conversions.
Yeah,
and I'm like, really?
Cool
it's like,
stuff.
This is why you love what you do. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Everybody else is like,
absolutely.
Oh, my God.
So what is all
it's all good.
I know.
Exactly.
But it's
exactly.
Totally, you can geek out on it, and it's fun. So.
Like you are geeking out, and you're like, voice says it, and I love that. But that says you love what you do, and I think that's an important
that's
key. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it. All right, I've got a big, powerful ending question for you, because I know we're almost out of time. You've been awesome as our leading lady, but, you know, if you could do something by giving a couple of comments, you know, one or two things that could leave our listeners with something that would, you know, inspire them or just make them feel like, my gosh, you know, I can do this if I want to go out and start my own thing or build my business to a bigger level. What would be the two, you know, wahoo kind of things you'd share with our listeners to just make their Friday afternoon, Lauren? What would
that goodness.
Be? No pressure.
I
no
would
pressure,
say,
right?
No. The first thing I would say is just follow your heart, like be very real with yourself and make sure that what you're doing is, you know, something that you really genuinely enjoy. And then I'd say the second thing is just baby steps, like be patient with yourself and just keep working towards those goals, you know, be thoughtful about it, be strategic about it. Don't get stuck at like a hamster in a wheel, but know your true north and keep pushing there. And, you know, things come together and doing that, I'd say, don't do it alone. I guess the third thing is just, you know, community really is everything and lean into that and take advantage of it. So
I like it. That's good. You know what I was thinking of as you were saying, just keep pushing and trying. I'm thinking of that movie, the Disney movie, right? Finding Dory, where she's like, I won't bore, but it's like, just keep swimming. Anyway, oh my goodness. I hope I didn't. You are awesome and amazing. I want to have you back again and talk more about trends with digital marketing and all that. But you're awesome, award winner. And you are speaking, as I understand it, coming up, you're speaking at the National Association of Financial Planners Conference this fall, is that right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, actually talking about women and thought leadership, so it should be pretty neat.
Nice. As well, how, if any of our listeners want to reach you, it's like, you know, we're going to have a link to your site on the radio page, but what, how would you like people to connect with you? Do you want to give anybody an idea if they want to talk to you specifically? How do you want them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the best way is just our website, outandaboutcommunications.com, or you can just email hello@outandaboutcom.com.
Outandaboutcom, that's C-O-M.
M.com. Got it. Yep.
I love it. And there'll be a link on our site. You're an awesome leading lady. To our listeners, all we want to say is, thank you, Lauren. And we want to say thank you to our listeners for being loyal and listening to us. As you know, we're here every Friday afternoon at 2 p.m., Mondays at 9 a.m. We have amazing hosts that bring out different things about being wonderful female leaders. And one of the things I always challenge each of us to do, no matter who we are, is what are you doing to empower and support other women? Challenge yourself to be supportive and help the next one in line. We will see you again on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.